I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
I still have plenty of great years in front of me, and being able to cement that legacy not only as a football city here in LA, but as an individual and winning DPOY and a Super Bowl or more. Those things are definitely pressing on my mind.
And Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
3.5 to go. Hurdle into the dot. Says it's back for Hurdle. He scores. Tomas Hurdle. And it's 5-4 Vegas.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. And the Fan Sports Network.
Hump day.
It is a hump day. Hello.
Here we go, man. Here we go.
What is happening?
Happy Wednesday, everybody. June 3rd.
Man, it was hot yesterday.
It was.
It was toasty.
It got toasty.
It was toasty. That was up there. How did the golf round go? Did you survive in the heat?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, fantastic.
It did.
Little sweaty day. Muscles are all loose.
Ball went further.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I flushed a 9-iron, so it was a terrible front. You can't start plus 5 through 2. I mean, I learned a valuable lesson.
Ouch. Where'd you play?
Right out of the gate. Come on, man.
I don't say the names of courses unless they're spending money on our show.
That's a good strategy.
But I was the first hole I tripled, and I was like, rip-roaring start.
We're off to a good start here. It's going to be a good day.
Second hole tee box.
We're just going to
pull that one OB.
Yeah, there you go.
Over a fence.
Okay.
Hit a pedestrian.
I like the strategy.
Damn it! And I was like, uh-oh. I didn't think it'd get there.
Did you just pull a Joe Fisher? Did you set a ball through somebody's windshield?
No, he was walking. He was walking on a path. At a couple fours.
If you're walking along a golf course, you got to have your head on a swivel. You know there's a chance a ball could come flying out of there at any moment.
It wasn't a great start.
It's like the announcement they give you when you go to a hockey game. Hey, just a heads up, a puck could leave the playing surface at any time.
Yeah.
If you're walking around a golf course, you got to know. You never know when a ball's going to come your way.
But I think the decency of at least hearing a four as a walker, I'd be like, okay, prepare.
Yep. Okay. Cover that. Here it goes.
There was no four because I couldn't see it past the tree.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know where that went.
Get over the fence? And then all I heard, damn it! whoopsie.
Sorry! Demito!
My bad.
5 over through 2, man. We've all been there before.
It wasn't great, but the back was delightful. And the heat. Dude, I hit a 9-iron. I hit pretty well.
Yeah.
I had a 9-iron, 173 yards yesterday.
Wow. Look at you, Bryson.
I mean,
DeChambeau.
I flushed it, but I was like, dude, what?
Did you 3D print that thing? Look at you over there.
Man.
Doing all those hip thrusts in the morning.
Lord.
You're getting extra length on your irons now. I'm a little intimidated.
That felt great.
That's farther than I can hit a 9-iron. 173 yards.
Flushed it. Could not believe it.
That's the hardest part about golf this time of year, because you can go from playing one day at like 64 degrees and one day 89 degrees.
Yep.
And trying to figure out am I flushing the ball first off?
Well, that's...
Because is it 70% contact, it's not going to go as far. But if you do flush it and it's sunny out, like all of a sudden you're 20 yards over the green. Like, I'm not mad about that, but it's also ruining my golf round because I can't figure out how far everything's going in this heat.
Do you remember, there's a video out there of Scotty talking to Tiger on the range or at an event or something.
Oh, yeah.
He's talking about hitting and Scotty's like,
he's on the range.
Divots. Yeah. They're talking about divots. And Tiger's like, I don't leave divots. And Scotty goes, what? And he goes, when I'm hitting the ball well, I don't take a divot.
I'm just flushing it.
And Scotty's like, is that like by design?
You like do that on purpose?
And Tiger's like, I don't know. That's how I flush them. And his mind was blown. He couldn't believe it, right?
Right.
That's basically what happened. I hit it so pure, nothing on the ground. It clean off the carpet.
Boom. Flying into the air.
Like, dude, this was 151 out. I thought I was good with a 9.
Oh.
End up bogeying the hole because of it.
You went over the green.
I went over the green.
You think at 151, that's a 9-iron? That's an aggressive 9-iron.
We can get it there.
We can get it there.
I wanted to get on the green.
And you flew it by 20 yards.
Yeah, just a little bit too much. But it was good. The weather, it didn't feel, to me, I know our group was talking about the heat.
Sure.
To me, I didn't feel What did it get up to yesterday? 95?
Did it actually get to 93? 95 yesterday?
I don't know. My car said 93 when I got into it at like 4.
Those are always tough, too, because the car's been sitting there for a while, and then you drive. I feel like the temperature usually drops.
Was it 90? Was it 88?
It felt like it was about... It wasn't as hot as I thought it was going to be. Like, in my head, I felt like it was going to be hotter, and we were out in the backyard in the afternoon. I set up the little kiddie pool, filled it up with water.
That's a good day for a kiddie pool.
Yeah, let's go flop around in the water a little bit. Put the little Fisher-Price slide in there. We got a water slide going. It was a delightful afternoon.
Yeah.
It didn't feel as hot as I thought it was going to be in my head.
Huh.
And maybe that's just because I got a somewhat shady backyard. But yeah, it was. I mean, it was warm. It was toasty. But I was prepared for my skin's going to melt. They didn't feel like that.
The official high in Portland at the airport yesterday was 88.
88?
Okay, so it was high 80s.
Yeah. So you might have been 90 depending on where you were.
I was very near the airport is all I will say about
that. Okay, so you're upper 80s.
I was upper 80s.
That's perfect golf weather.
I thought it was,
just
yeah, it was
perfect.
Delightful.
Just upper now, 80s is delightful.
We did get caught in a situation.
Uh-oh.
So we make the turn at the back. We raced to the front. Like, we had no group stopping us. I think we got to the front in an hour and, like, 48 minutes.
That's the dream right there.
It was perfect golf.
I figured in the middle of the afternoon, in a hot day, on a Tuesday.
Oh, riding.
Yeah, you walk.
Bitch.
Yeah, you walk 99.9%
of
the time.
You walk, dude. That's the point
no,
of golf.
No, I know. I just...
You got to get some steps in. You got to get some exercise.
Come on now.
Right.
I borderline carried. But we got through the front pretty quickly. So we make the turn. We didn't really have any stops. Got some water. That's it. And then we get to the back, and it's...
Backed up.
Dude, there were three groups. One was waiting at the tee box. One had just... barely left the tee box,
ooh,
and another group was just getting to the green of that hole. So we're like, ah, damn it.
Must have been a stop and get a hot dog at the turn scenario, I'm imagining. Everybody's like getting food.
I think
that's
it was
slowing
a
people down.
Combination of that and then like old people who sucked.
Yeah. All the morning golfers that weren't quite done yet, you caught up to all of them.
Yeah. Like, not, you know, old people are usually pretty good.
Sure.
They might move a little slower, but straight.
Yeah. Even if it's 120 yards, it's usually going straight.
Not these ones.
No.
These ones are terrible.
You ran into the bad olds.
They're lining up putts when you know they're like plus 24. You're like, what are you doing,
come
dude?
Come on, man. That's a seven. Just tap it and pick it up.
It's not going to break as hard as you think it is. It's a muni.
Just pick up to the
what
next.
What are you doing here? So the PGA Tour.
Hammer it straight at the hole. It's probably going to go in.
Yeah, just aim straight. And, and, you know, if it veers left, tough luck. Tap in. Get out of here.
For your eight instead of a seven.
So we're sitting there and we're just like waiting, right? All of a sudden, individual comes up. Parks his little golf cart, and I had seen this individual, and I think I have a lot of faults and flaws. I think one of my gifts, truly, I think one of my gifts is reading people without having to talk to them.
Mm.
I think I'm very good at picking up of like, you're not a good person.
You could judge that book by the cover, and you're pretty accurate with it.
I feel like I bat 88%. I've been surprised.
Yeah, there's always a random one out there, sure.
But this dude rolls up, and as soon as he stops, I just turn.
Bad vibes immediately.
And I just grit my teeth and go, no. And he goes, might as well join you?
Oh, no.
And people I'm with are not going to say no because they're too nice. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, okay.
Well, at that point, too, if there's a backup, is he playing by himself?
So I'd seen this person on the practice putting green, right? And then I left to go to the round. I hadn't seen him since. So he left the group behind us. It was a threesome, and then he's the random fourth. He left them. He comes up, asks to join. They, of course, say yes. I turn my back, and I just look at a tree, and I'm like, damn it.
This is going to ruin my back nine.
I knew it. I just knew it. And I turn around. He starts introducing himself. We introduce ourselves, and he goes, I couldn't play with that group anymore. They talk too much. Stopping at the clubhouse for too long. All right, well, we're backed up, as you can clearly see. There's like three groups in front of us. We haven't even hit our ball yet. The group is literally just leaving the tee in front of us.
Got nowhere to go.
Yeah, that's okay. So as we literally grab our clubs to finally get up to tee off, guess who comes up on our group?
The group behind. Yay.
His group.
The group you were just playing with.
Now, his group is about probably our age. They look like they're our age, okay? And so you're talking like young 30s, mid 30s, late 30s, somewhere.
How old is the single player?
A swag.
Okay.
We'll call him a swag.
Call him a swag.
Maybe older, but a swag.
He's a swag. Swag plus.
He's in the ballpark of the swag, okay? So we see this group, And he tees off. We finally tee off. I'm walking. He's got a cart. And as I go to my cart, the group behind us just goes, have fun.
Oh, no.
And I turn.
Oh, no.
And I just look at him and I walk away, right? So then we go. We're waiting forever to hit the next shot.
Oh, no.
There's already weird vibes here.
Yes.
We had Bob Marley going. We were feeling great.
Yes.
I was playing poor, but I was having fun. I was enjoying it.
It's sunny out. You're outside.
Yeah,
you're playing golf. Like,
I had
who
no complaints.
Cares?
I suck at golf. I'm okay with that. And all of a sudden, I could feel the vibe shifting. We get done with that hole. We go to the next. On the green, by the way, we are on probably 4 feet to the left of this hole, the pin. The guy he's lining up a birdie putt, right? He's a good little golfer. He looks at me and my brother-in-law, and he just stares at us. He's wearing shades, and he does a hand motion like,
ooh, move out of the back
over.
Of the way. Yeah,
we are already like 5 feet right of the pin.
You're in my line of sight right now.
And me and my brother-in-law look at each other and we're like, we take one sarcastically giant step back. He missed the putt. So we get off. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this.
Yeah.
We tee off on the next one. We get through that hole. I'm on the next hole, which is a par three. We tee off. He goes way ahead. I stop. I wait for the group behind because they've caught us again. And I go, I'm filing a complaint to the club on all three of you. And they
for
go,
letting this guy join our back nine.
They go, are you enjoying him? And I said, he has ruined my entire life.
Yeah.
And the next hole, it was even worse because I hit a terrible tee shot, couldn't find my ball.
Uh-oh.
He comes driving over with his cart. I'm like, maybe he'll help me. And he goes, tough break there, and drives away.
Just kept pulling away.
Wow.
I get to the green.
These are the cases where we need to shrink the game. This is a shrink the game case.
I was losing it. I get to the green. My buddy that was with us, he goes, you doing okay there, Sprager? And I go, I'm going to leave. I didn't leave, right? So I finished the hole. And next hole, he starts playing bad golf. I'm like, dude, forget this guy.
Don't let him ruin my back nine.
Don't let him ruin the. I mean, he already kind of had, but like, I'm not letting him ruin the final five holes
to go. Let's try and enjoy him and hit a couple of good
golf
shots.
I played great golf the final five holes.
There
I just ignored it, but it was like, God, there's nothing worse.
It's the worst, dude.
You just,
it's
it doesn't have to be a golf story. You know a bad person.
Yeah.
When there's an aura to them, and they were like, what do you
whether
think?
You're
I,
at
I think he's a selfish prick.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly
there's a vibe to it.
He's not thinking about anybody else. He's
you're
only thinking about himself.
You're at the sporting event, it's the person in front of you that won't sit down.
Yes.
Or shut up.
Or will yell the entire game or be obnoxious the entire time. Not thinking about anybody else around them. Like, that's I will never go golfing as the solo, can I jump in your group? I refuse to be that guy.
I don't want to be that guy.
And I get that some people are new in town or you don't have friends or you don't have people you can play with. So
or you don't care and you just want
to
golf.
Or you don't care.
Yeah.
And I totally, I got one day a week to golf and I couldn't find anybody. It's my only day, so I want to go do it. I just, if I ever got to that point and you're the plus one, the whole, like 60% of your job is to fit in with the rest
of the
group.
You got to blend into the group.
Like, if it's four randoms and it's four, like, or two and two, two, one,
right,
one, or whatever, then it's different. But if it's three friends that are playing together, three people who know each other, and you're the outsider coming in, you have to assimilate into the group that you're playing with. Like, that is the biggest responsibility of being that golfer and understanding, like, this is your tee time, not my tee time. You booked it. I'm filling in on your tee time. I'm going to come play with you, but I'll make sure that I'm not a nuisance. I'm not annoying you.
Right.
I'll get out of your way. I'm going to play quick, ready golf. Like, fit into the vibe of the group. Check the vibe after hole one and then go from there. And if you're out there as a one-man marching band, what is the matter with you? You're ruining other people's day.
I think those...
How are people so unaware in social situations in life? I just don't understand
My only conclusion as somebody that's in the swag age ballpark is this is the prototypical... People like this, to me, are kind of a problem in our society in
general.
Yes,
they
are. They're selfish their entire life. Like, what's the hardest thing this person's really endured, but, like, everything's a slight?
Sure.
Like, there's just that kind of vibe to it. We had one of our last holes was a par five, and my buddy, he hit it too long. He went past the green. He misread it. He's slightly off the green, right? He's on the second cut. And it's an entirely downhill putt. And it's his third shot on a par five. He's like, this one's impossible to keep on because of the heat. He hits it perfect. And we watched it slowly roll in from like 105 feet. Drained an eagle putt. A zero putt eagle hole.
Yeah.
We go crazy, right? He's losing his mind. Yeah. He couldn't believe it.
Eagles don't happen very often. Dude,
we give him a little fist bump. We're like, yeah, we're
that
going
was
crazy
awesome,
for
dude.
Him. The
yeah.
cart girl happened to just drive by. He wants to stop and get a beer. You know what the random single did? He starts going, he's getting our drinks. And then he slaps my buddy super hard on the back. Yeah! And this guy's not small.
Not a small gentleman.
Nor is he somebody that's going to be putting up with assault, dude.
No.
So I was like, oh. And he let it go.
Yep.
He let it go.
Don't overreact. But I just made an eagle.
I was like, dude, I can't wait for this round to be over. This is a bit much.
My biggest fear is like, whenever I'll set a tee time at a public course and you have
only have three.
Yeah. If ever I show up to the first tee box, I hate to admit this, but I'll admit it. I always, the fourth, he's just running late. He'll be
here. I say that
every time. You
After
never
I tee
admit.
Off, I go, if you see him, just tell him to meet us.
Tell him we'll be on the third hole. I think he's running a little late. They forget
because
three more groups come behind him. They forget that there's a guy that's missing. You don't like just, and you see that one guy walking around the putting green that's like looking around.
Oh,
you know, there's that one guy that's waiting for that invite to a tee time. You're like, nah, sorry, man, we got four. We can't do it.
And I knew it the minute I saw him because I'm on the putting green. I housed all beef dog. I'm feeling good. I'm like, look at me out here.
Look at me eating a hot
dog. This random with headphones was doing a little chipping practice, and he accidentally like scolded the ball, so it rolled, and it rolled on my up on my feet, and that guy goes, coming in hot, and I turn around, and the ball is just like rolling to my feet, and I just turn around and I grab the ball and I
toss it back to
him, and I just kind of rolled it back to him. And
we've all bladed a chip before. I've been there.
You know what he did? And this was my tell. He walked up to the guy and he goes, you know, there's a chipping area down that way. And I just thought, I'm the one who almost got hit here.
I'm the one.
I don't
one.
Even care.
No,
yeah.
Why are you policing my wrongs?
I don't think he was aiming to hit me.
Why is this your responsibility?
And so it was that moment, and then when I saw him, I went, oh,
got that main character syndrome, man.
Oh, I just couldn't do it.
I'm going to get in there and make this all about me, baby.
But the good news was I got done in time, ran a quick errand, and literally came in right as the puck dropped.
Dude, it's perfect time.
It was perfect timing.
Perfect timing. You get done in time for the sports to start.
That's an atmosphere in Carolina.
Dude, it was fantastic, man. It was a great start to the Stanley Cup final last night. It was, I mean, you could not have asked for a better game. They scored a goal 20 seconds in.
25
and then
seconds.
And ironically, ended up losing the game. They did that against Montreal in game 1-2 right out of the gate. But it's like, all right, buckle down. We got a cool intro video. Crowd's going crazy. You can't, like 20 seconds in.
I know.
If you're just checking out the game of like, oh, let's see how this is going to look. Boom, there's a goal immediately. Crowd goes crazy. It was a great hockey game last night.
I don't know who the broadcast, Kenny Albert, and who was the other guy?
No.
Sean McDonough and Ray Ferraro.
I thought he made a great point at the end of that Cup game where he was basically like, you know, a lot of goals being scored, but some really good stops in this game. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of a weird, like, they've given up a lot of goals here, but they feel
Jarvis
good.
Jarvis got robbed late, right before the game winner from the Vegas Golden Knights.
Heddle.
That was close.
Is that how you say it?
Hurdle.
Tomas Hurdle.
Hurtle.
Is there an R in there? Or is it just
H-E-R-T-L.
There's an R in there. That was a fun moment for me as a former minor league hockey broadcaster because Carter Hart, the goalie for Vegas, was a stud goalie for Everett.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth Jarvis was obviously a winner. I called the Seth Jarvis-Carter Hart game.
How about that?
They were both studs. They were both going to be or maybe already were first-round picks at the time and came back to play another year. God, he's got to be up all night thinking about that. That was a game-winning goal in game one of the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
And somehow got robbed. And then 30 seconds later, Vegas scores the goal to take the lead and ultimately win game one.
You couldn't draw it up better. You had three goals in the opening period.
Yep.
Chicks dig the long ball, man. I mean, they won fireworks. Yeah. You don't want a 1-0 hockey game to start the Stanley Cup final.
There's
a beauty to it, but it's like a pitcher's duel. Like 1-0 games are fun occasionally. But at the end of the day, what's the perfect score of a World Series game? You want some home runs, some stolen bases.
4-3, 5-4.
Hockey fans prefer more points to be scored.
Without a doubt.
Okay, all right.
Back and forth, or somebody's down one, or you got to pull a goalie, or like that just makes it far more entertaining in the back end of it. So it's a perfect amount of goals last night.
I also kept thinking, I'm watching, and Tom Dundon's team is in the Stanley Cup, and I'm like, I wonder if they're going to hoist the trophy. And I thought because I got there probably 5-10 minutes before the puck dropped, so the atmosphere was already seen and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking like how awesome the atmosphere is there and how like awesome I think tonight it's going to be in San Antonio or MSG.
It's going to be incredible.
You know, even Vegas, to their credit, the fan base is like it's all in and it's their local team. But I kept wondering about us in the weird sense of like if we ever got back to the finals in the next 10 years, let's say, hypothetically. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, knock on wood.
A lot of people were coming away unimpressed by our home atmosphere in the San Antonio series. And I know you didn't share that all that sentiment, but there was like a, some people were telling me it was kind of an odd vibe, not as loud as they thought. And I just wonder, like, what is our atmosphere if we're ever back in the finals in the next,
I think,
like,
if you gear
years?
Up to that, whether it's, you know, whether one of two things happens, whether you keep knocking on the door for 3 or 4 years, you get to the conference semis, the conference, you finally bust through.
Yeah, if you get there, that means you probably did bust
through. I would imagine.
That's what Carolina's been. Carolina's been knocking on the door for a long time.
Right. Yeah, I would imagine it'll be...
It would be rocking?
It'll be rocking.
The biggest fear that I think you have in those scenarios is pricing out the loudest fans. Because the games are so expensive at that point. Yeah. Like, we went over this with the San Antonio game one and game two. The tickets were insane.
Yeah.
It's the first time we had a playoff game in nearly half a decade,
well,
right?
San Antonio has probably priced out a lot of their, but they have like a, one
they
of the
still
best
seem to be
atmospheres.
Loud. They still, I don't know if that'll change in the finals or not. We'll wait and see, but I'm sure their tickets have been expensive throughout their playoff run because they too had also not been in the playoffs for a while. That's just the only fear that you have.
I remember,
you get more of a corporate crowd, the people who don't want to put the free t-shirts that we don't get anymore on, and then you're just not.
Right.
And maybe that was the case in the San Antonio game. It felt loud to me. I go back to the idea of, like, they blew a double-digit second-half lead. Like, what do you want people to cheer about?
Is
they're peeing a 15-point third-quarter lead down their leg.
Yeah.
If you're up 15 and you finish that thing off in the fourth quarter, it's a part. Like, how loud is that place? It's exploding, and you win game three, and you take a 2-1 series lead. Like, it's a little bit different in that scenario.
I think it would. I mean, I remember being there when Brandon Roy had that fourth quarter against the Mavericks.
That's a long time ago, though, man.
I know.
That's
a very long time.
I remember.
15 years ago.
I had partial season tickets for Brian Grant, the Rasta Monsta against
Utah.
See,
you're naming things that are 30 years ago, 15 years ago. I'm telling you, people that, like, there are Blazer fans that I know that have gone to a lot of games, and they were like, I mean, it was loud, but I've heard regular season games louder
than
that.
If they get back to that point, then I think it'll be different.
Yeah.
Well, a lot to discuss today. We got a lot of audio to play.
We do.
The finals starts tonight.
Happy NBA Finals Day, everybody.
We got some fallout reaction from the big NFL trades. College football is in the headlines today. It's a loaded show. Status Story Wednesday. We start next. 105 on the Fan.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
We got an NBA Finals to preview. NFL to talk about. I want to get into a debate of one NFL player. Very quickly, did you see Joe Adele had a Jose Canseco moment yesterday against the Rockies?
I did see that.
So in about I think it was fourth inning, it was already 7-0 Colorado. Mm-hmm. The Angels are terrible.
Yes, they are. Although the Rockies, after just taking 2 out of 3 from my mighty Giants, playing very good baseball right now.
Well, to be fair, you're right.
They are ahead of us in the standings. They are climbing up the NL standings.
You guys are the worst team in the NL.
We're not the worst team in baseball. Who's worse than us?
Ooh, let me go.
Well,
look,
I don't know.
There's got to. We have to be. The
I
worst
don't follow
team
much.
I know
of the
you're
AL
the worst.
Stuff.
You have the worst record in the NL now.
They have to be.
How
the
many
worst
wins
team
do you have?
Like 14.
You're 14. You are the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
They're horrible.
Now you have 23 wins. Hold on.
We have 23.
You're tied.
Wins.
You're literally tied with the Angels and the Royals for dead last in baseball.
Bring it on, baby. We're tanking for whoever the good baseball prospect is that'll play in 2037.
You are. I want to make sure percentage wise. No, you're not.
No.
No, the Angels
the
are
Angels
a half
are the worst.
Game worse.
Damn it. Can't even have one thing.
The mighty have fallen from 0-2.
The Angels have one more loss than you.
Come on, Angels.
I thought it was an even year, though.
It was that Joe Adele home run off
the
head.
Is it an even year?
Yeah, get you three of these, all right? Why don't you sit down and shut up?
We got two
over,
of those.
Right?
Yeah, he's about to have three of these.
This century.
You're three of these things.
He's already got three.
You.
That's fine. He's got two and a half.
He's got two.
You got one this century, okay?
Yeah, but we have two. We have two in my life.
Okay.
Did you see the moonshot your boy Olsen hit last night?
Much needed, by the way. That was a great baseball game with the Blue Jays. So fourth inning, Joe Adele, who, by the way, has one of the best moments in baseball defensively.
Dude, he just robbed multiple home runs this year.
It's debatably,
in the same game.
It's debatably the best outfield defensive performance in Major League Baseball history.
Yes, he went flying into the stands to say, and we had a debate of should it be a home run or not, because he went over the fence.
He went over the fence, famously photographed standing behind the wall with the ball and glove, and it was a really cool photo. So in the fourth inning, a ball gets hit near his the right field, and he goes, and it like goes through his glove, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was going to snow cone it almost, and it goes through the glove, and it bounces off his head and goes over the wall. And in the moment, they didn't know if it was a home run.
Because in Anaheim, they have the home run wall, but then there's another wall behind it. But it doesn't need to go over the full wall to be a home run.
Yellow line.
Just over the yellow line.
So they didn't know right away, and so it's a weird thing, and then they figured out it's a home run. We had a Jose Canseco moment yesterday from Joe Adell.
Dude, to have that happen when you're running, that's such a tough play to make, by the way, like sprinting full speed into the gap. And his glove is off by, what, a millimeter or two? Like, it's just... Did you see the play in the softball game the other night? So I think it was Bama, Texas Tech. And I think it was Texas Tech that hit a home run. This girl got killed. But she was playing left field. She's tracking a home run ball, fly ball.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets all the way back to the wall. She feels like she has it and she doesn't jump. Puts the glove up and it's maybe just a quarter of an inch.
Like if she jumps, it's an
easy catch. It's an easy catch. But she's tracking it, and she thinks she has it, but it's just that millimeter further, and it goes just past off the end of her glove over the wall as a home run. And everybody kills her, like, how do you not make that play? And it's like, she's tracking a home run ball.
I love that.
Thinking she has it.
How do you not rob a home run? It's the easiest thing ever.
I would love, like, talk about we're going to have the Joe Fisher, Danny Moran cargo short Olympics at some point this summer.
Yeah.
That's another fun one to try of, like, tracking fly balls. People who think tracking fly balls is easy.
Dude, it's kind of intimidating.
If you hit them high in the air.
If it's super high.
Dude, everybody initially is taking the three steps in, which you're not supposed to do, and then having to sprint back to get to the ball. Like, look, it's an embarrassing moment. He's a great defender. Just to have it go off of your head and be a home run, God, that's brutal to deal
with. Could you come up with two drastically polar opposite defensive players than Canseco and him, though?
No, because Canseco was a roided out beast monkey.
He was not known for his defense.
No. His home run give up on the head is all-time idiotic. Oh, he looks like an idiot.
Yes, he's standing there and he misses. He can't catch it.
Joe Adell's is, I thought the glove was going to block this. It didn't. Boink, off.
And it's in the gap. He's running. He's still moving when the play is happening.
But he still has the same result as Jose Canseco.
Off the head. Those damn Angels finding new ways to lose to get the number one. Although there's a lottery now in baseball, right? Isn't there a lottery in
there? There is. Lotteries?
Damn it.
Well, how's the lottery work in baseball?
I don't know. Nobody follows the baseball draft.
No.
You take guys, they don't show up for 5 years.
I mean, unless you get a Paul Skeens.
That is true. Is there a Paul Skeens in this year's MLB draft? Because if there is, then I'll be excited about losing games.
The number one player is the shortstop from UCLA.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I'm
sure that'll pan out.
Yeah, I'm sure that
guy will work out. How'd he do in the regional?
Actually, I couldn't get a hit against St. Mary's.
I don't know actually how he did the regional.
I have no idea either.
Anyways, a very funny moment. I wanted to, because I just did a little bit there, and I'm more curious about home atmospheres.
Yeah.
But look, I'll say this. Blue Line Brandon got it wrong. Predictions already off to a rip-roaring start. Might end up being right with Hurricanes in six.
Long series to go.
Game-by-game prediction wrong. 9 total goals, including the final one and the final, 2 and some change of the third period.
Yep.
A delightful little hockey match as somebody who doesn't watch almost any hockey all year until about this point. Just your general takeaway as a hockey guy.
Vegas, what they continue to do is just wild.
I hate that team.
Like, I hate them too. It doesn't make sense. Like, Tortorella basically had an answer going into it. They were asking him what he was doing. He was like, I'm just kind of letting them be them. I've only been the coach for like 20. It's just
I'm doing literally nothing.
The strangest story of all time to fire your coach to be an average, below average team all year, and now you just cannot lose. It's like the way they dominated Colorado, who was the best team in the NHL all year, was eye-opening. Adding to it last night, road teams in the Stanley Cup final down multiple goals at any point of a game one were 0-55. 0-55.
0-55.
And who is now the 1-55? The Vegas goal. Like, they just continue. Like, they're starting to get that vibe, and this happens in all sports where you get the feeling about a team the longer you go of like, oh, this is kind of a team of destiny, is it not? Like, are they... It doesn't make sense. I don't know how they're playing at this level. I know they've gotten some guys back in their lineup, but they're just everything seems to go their way. They seem to make the play whenever they need to make the play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tie game with 3 minutes to go. Hart had an okay night, not great night, makes an incredible save on Jarvis, and then a minute later you get an unreal pass to Hurdle to get a little give and go, no look behind the, you know, throws it behind him, and it's right there. You finish it, and you take the lead with 2 minutes to go in the game. Hockey's having a nice little moment. The ratings for the first couple rounds of the playoffs have been great. They've averaged in the first, second, third round more per game in the playoffs than they've ever averaged. So that's really a really good sign. And then you just hope when you get to a Stanley Cup final, there's not a, you know, traditional team in here. There's not a blue blood franchise, if you will. It's not the Blackhawks versus the Bruins, right, or all of Canada. It's Little Raleigh, North Carolina versus expansion Vegas, and you're just hoping you can kind of ride this lightning, and I'm hoping after the game one that people will be tuned into the series of, if you checked out the game last night, like, that was an awesome hockey game. It had everything you could have. You had leads blown both ways. You had one team looking like they were going to win. The other one came back, a goal in the last 2 minutes to take the lead. You could not ask for more out of a game. It was a phenomenal hockey game, and so if you tuned in, I hope you were entertained, and now maybe you tune in for game two tomorrow night.
I don't know why I had this takeaway, because largely I don't really understand hockey. I did think whatever Brendan Moore, he brought in a guy, because if you missed it, the very end, it's 5-4. They've brought the extra man on. The net's empty. There's 5 seconds, I think 5.6. They have a face-off at the Vegas end. Brendan Moore subs somebody out, brings in a guy who basically all he's known for is shooting.
Yeah.
And so he wants to get a shot off, right, within 5 seconds. Couldn't have drawn.
They got a great look.
Any better than that?
Great look with 5 seconds.
They just didn't have any slap shot look.
Traffic in front of the goalie. He saw it the entire way.
Well, and they made the point on the broadcast. The Vegas guy that ended up blocking it, because it wasn't the goalie, it was a defender. They're like, yeah, I think he was trying to get out of the way, but he ended up deflecting the puck. And if he didn't, maybe that goes in. Like, I thought that was a great look. So I don't know how you dictate what's good coaching in hockey versus not good coaching.
Yeah.
They fire these guys in 2 days every time. So I don't know enough. I did have a really grandiose takeaway as a sports fan. Maybe hockey and baseball, the two sports the most for me. It really bothers me the home team doesn't wear white.
Really? That gets you, huh?
It eats at me. Hmm. And I don't know why I feel that way, but
don't
I like
baseball teams wear white at home?
Yeah. I said baseball and hockey are the only ones I care about.
Oh, got it.
Basketball,
okay.
If the Blazers wore their road
blacks
or reds at home.
You don't care what uniform is going on, yeah.
Well, not the carpet, but like
sure.
Standard black or red at home doesn't bother me. NFL, my team wears a dark color at home.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about that. Hockey and baseball
weirdly
bother me.
Hockey switched that up, I want to say, 20 years ago or something.
I don't remember when it happened. That's just kind of all I've ever really known. Yeah, I don't really remember a day where they
didn't. Old school tradition, they wore the whites at home. And
Red Wings always wore whites growing up when I watched them.
I remember they switched it up because that's when
they
started.
That's a funny question
I
never really thought about.
It was bothering me a lot watching it.
That's a funny poll question. Do you want your team to wear a colored their color uniform or their white uniform at home?
Well, I think most people would tell you when you're at home, you wear white. Right? Isn't that traditionally how it's been? But then you think about this.
I don't think about it that way.
What jersey do the Bears wear at home?
They wear their colored ones.
Their blue ones.
Yeah.
What color do the Seahawks wear at home?
The colored ones. All
the
NFL teams wear colored at home. All of them do. All football teams do. Unless you
do
a random wideout game, which will happen from time to time. But if outside of that, it's always
a colored
jersey.
Well, in the NFL, it's always been the home team gets to pick what jerseys they want to wear, and then the other team.
That's how it is in the NBA.
The Cowboys might be the only one. I think the Cowboys the Raiders?
Don't they wear white?
They wear black at home.
They wear black at home.
I thought they wore the white ones with the silver pants at home.
No, they wear those on the road.
I know the Cowboys, technically their white jerseys
I'm telling
home
you confidently,
jersey.
The Raiders, unless the other team chooses
according
to do
Madden.
Something, they wear all white on the road.
Yeah. Now you got me thinking about the Raiders.
But I remember the NHL.
Why are you doing this? No, don't play this game.
Don't play that game.
They wear the blacks at home.
Okay.
You are right.
Okay.
Your initial reaction
I'm
right.
I'm right.
You're
making me
Google.
You're making me question.
You don't need to Google.
Making me second guess.
Okay. But in baseball, like if my Braves don't wear their home Brave jersey at home, outside of it being like the City Connect night or something, it's weird. Hockey, I don't know why I have this take
that's
today.
It's a funny bone to pick.
They have a nice white uniform.
They do. I love those black unis, though.
They're not awful.
I love that look.
But it was weird to watch Vegas wearing
the
white.
Hockey stick as the flagpole with the flags flapping in the hurricane. I love that logo. It's a great look.
It bothered the hell out of me.
The only thing that bothers me about Carolina is their embracing of the Hartford Whalers gear. That's the only one that drives me nuts. I don't understand it. I don't get why that's a thing for you. There were two fans sitting next to the glass wearing Hartford Whalers jerseys.
Well, appreciate where you came from,
homage. No, you don't know. Oh. That's not, no. You stole their team.
The Titans are doing this year with the Oilers.
But they're not wearing
I mean, they kind of are.
They're going back to the color scheme of it, sure, but they're not
stealing.
They're not wearing an Oiler jersey.
They have, though.
If the Thunder wore a Sonics jersey, people's head would explode.
Boy,
and rightfully
you,
so. So
imagine,
how is that any different?
Could you imagine? They do it like a Sonic.
If the Blazers move to Kalamazoo and they wear Rip City pinstripe black and red jerseys, we would lose our minds.
We will January 6th, Kalamazoo. I will tell you
like,
that.
You
much
just can't.
Right now.
You can't. I just, that one. And it's a different. If it's one thing, if you can make an argument, if it's the same color scheme, it's a green. It's green and blue and white.
Yeah, it's a
the
different.
Red and black. Like well, it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Well, but the Avalanche will wear those Nordiques jerseys every once
I'm
in a
not,
while.
I just. I think that's
like when the Packers do.
But it was always Green throwback. Bay, though. It's not from a different. That's different.
No, I know.
Throwbacks in your city are fine.
When
you
outside
pay
your color realm is when you kind of lose
that,
me.
Yes, I tend to agree with you there. I just wearing the jersey from another city always bothers me.
No,
makes
I
me uncomfortable.
I agree with that.
Hell of a hockey game last night.
Great hockey
Keep
game.
Keep delivering,
I'll
man.
I'll be
Hopefully
curious
people
to
watch.
See how much it might help the NHL that both the NBA Finals. So I would imagine during
yeah,
the NBA Finals game,
ABC.
There's going to be a lot of promos for Game 2 of the NHL yeah. Stanley Cup
yeah.
being on ABC every other night.
We will get to the NBA Finals. Coming up next, I want to get back into the NFL. Miles Garrett audio reaction. Miles Garrett talked about being a Ram now. We'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 6:46 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We got Star Shorty to get to today. Preview of the NBA Finals. Talk about NBA Finals Game 1, which is tonight. A big social media video went out. Everybody's losing their minds about it. Oh, he can be a human. He's moving. What does it mean? Grand conclusions are being made. Swag doesn't even know what I'm talking about.
I'm kind of bummed it's not on NBC just to get the theme song for this finals.
Hmm. They've painted the finals logo.
Yes, the finals
not
logo.
Not just a sticker. They actually like put it on the court.
We have peer pressured them into doing the right thing. Finally, the NBA caved and gave us something that we want.
I saw a thing yesterday, or 2 days ago, I think it was, Barkley in Game 5 or Game 3. I think it was 5 of the NBA Finals against the Bulls.
Okay.
No, it would have been Game... Let's see, because Game 6 was in Phoenix, right?
Yeah, the game-winning shot was in Phoenix. I remember
so maybe
that.
Maybe it was Game 2. It was a home game. Barkley had like an... Oh, no, it was a Western Conference Finals game. Thank you, God. It was the 93 season. They went to the finals that year.
Yeah.
And it was a game 5 against the Sonics. He had like 45,
just
13,
yeah.
5, 2, and 2, and he shot like 22 shots. Like, dude, Barkley in this era would eat up.
Yeah, he would have killed.
But I was rewatching it, and I was reminded of like what the NBA used to do and those classic logos.
Yeah.
You just love to see them. I really think the 92-93 finals, when you look at the courts... Oh, I love those
That's
logos.
That's the peak of NBA basketball right there.
The logos,
that little
yeah.
moment.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny because they used to superimpose the trophy and the finals logo on the floor.
Remember when they did it digitally?
They
and people
did.
Were like, dude, what
Well,
are
it's
you
hilarious,
doing?
And people have pointed this out of like, if you are, I don't usually go back and watch games, but some people do, and I know a lot of basketball fans will. Like, let's go back and turn on Game 7 of the NBA Finals last year. Guess what was not on the floor? It looks like a normal game.
It was odd.
Because all the logos and all the NBA Finals stuff, like, none of it was painted on the floor. And so the NBA was finally peer pressured into doing the right thing. It's going to look great, man. The pictures of the court look great. I saw the videos they put out of them putting it together. It should be awesome.
We will get to all of that coming up in the second hour of the radio program. I'm going to hold Miles Garrett here, and I want to get to another NFL take.
What do you got?
So Peter Schrager yesterday was talking, and he had this comment about one new CBS analyst and former NFL quarterback, Russell Wilson.
He was a 10-time Pro Bowler. Every other quarterback who's been a 10-time Pro Bowler is securely in the Hall of Fame. So you would say yes. But those 10 Pro Bowls happened at a point of his career where he was never first team All Pro. He was never the MVP. He had one of the best defenses ever surrounding him. And since those years, it has been such a drop off and such a demise in Denver, nothing in Pittsburgh, and really nothing with that year in the Giants, where I could see voters almost talking themselves out of putting Russell Wilson in the Hall of Fame. So it's a fascinating candidacy. I don't think he's first ballot, but I think he certainly has an argument to get in it.
So that was Schrager on ESPN yesterday. He didn't announce, I didn't see something, maybe if you did, you can tell me. I didn't see Russell Wilson officially announce retirement. I just saw him take the CBS job.
I think it's a nobody's offering me a job in the NFL. CBS is going to pay me millions of dollars to talk about football, and I'm going to be the next guy to do the I'm still available if you need me, but I will be working in broadcasting for the time being.
And maybe he's going to be Philip Rivers, or maybe in two seasons the Dolphins will contact him about being a backup. And he goes, you know, actually, I'm going to give it one more go around. And it's not going to work out, and we all know that.
I mean, good for the NFL for doing this. He's more of a distraction than anything. He's not a player that you want on your roster anymore. He's not going to help you win. He's not good. So there's no – I would much rather – give me the random sixth rounder as my second or third stringer who's a better locker room guy than Russell Wilson.
I think it's the most simplistic take of he's not a Hall of Famer. I don't even know if it's worthy of a conversation in my mind.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
I don't care about Pro Bowls.
No, Pro Bowls are stupid. The tough part about, like, I heard Patrick and Danny talking about this yesterday, because Patrick was kind of blown away with how high up Stafford's numbers are all time, because when you look at yards and touchdowns, he's like top six or seven in the history of the NFL.
He's been in the league a long time.
But I think the tough part with gauging numbers as it goes to quarterbacks and Hall of Fame candidacy is Russell Wilson's numbers are going to be a lot better than Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Like, I guarantee if you go look.
We can't comp it to.
I know, it's a different era.
Throwing the blanks.
The only thing that I'll push back on a little bit is. The Pro Bowl thing is dumb. I don't care about Pro Bowls. It's a meaningless game, and that shouldn't be, like, Shador Sanders was a Pro Bowler last year.
Thank you. Very good point.
Right. The idea, though, that he was carried his entire career by an elite defense is just dumb. That's not true. Early in his career, he was. They went to a Super Bowl and won it because of their defense. They got back to another one because of it. Mm-hmm. Let's not sit here and act like the next 5 years the Legion of Boom didn't have everybody get hurt and everybody leave the team, and he didn't play at an MVP level for, like, 4 or 5 years. He carried Seattle for a number of years there when Earl Thomas was done and Cam Chancellor was done and Richard Sherman moved on. Bobby Wagner, like, all those guys eventually were not the players they were. When would we say their defensive peak ended? So their Super Bowl was what, 2013, right, when they won? Is that the one? 2013, technically the 2014 Super Bowl, but 2013 season.
Yep.
So the next year was the 2014 season, 2015 Super Bowl they lost. You look at his numbers from 17, 18, 19, 20 through 21, essentially. Like, you're talking about a guy who was 34 touchdowns, 11 picks, 35 and 7, 31 and 5, 40 and 13, 25 and 6 in injury season.
God, he's going to have 40. He has 46,966 yards.
The numbers are there to make the.
Would you vote for him for a Hall of Fame?
I would not, but I'm also not going to look at his career and scream if he gets in.
Oh, I won't scream.
Like,
I mean,
it's not one of those of, like, how is he? Like, I can, all right.
Here's
I
my
see
thing.
It.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think we're shortchanging him a little bit from the last 6 or so years in Seattle of how good he was.
Well, actually, I thought one of his best seasons ended up being in 2020 when they were 12-4, and that's famously when he threw the pick six against the Rams.
In the
lost
playoff
game,
the COVID playoff game.
That was his best year, I think, statistically.
Yes, he was awesome.
He had 4,200 yards, 40 touchdowns, 13 picks.
Right.
That was the peak of his career.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for him, the next year, he had 3,100 yards. I think that was the year he kind of got hurt.
That was the year he got banged up, and then he brushed back because Geno was getting love from the fans.
Geno was being too good, and then he goes to Denver, and then the Denver thing falls flat. Pittsburgh didn't work, and the Giants thing was never really anything. Hall of very good, not Hall of Fame, but to your point, I will not if he makes it on, like, the third, the fourth, whatever it is.
Yeah, at the end of the ballot. Or he's not going to be a first ballot guy. We know that.
He better not be. If Eli's not, he better not be. But if he makes it, I'm not going to scream about it, because I think, unfortunately, and I know this might not be true for some, Terrell Davis making it, I think, throws a lot of opinions on Hall of Fame candidacy out the window.
Like, 4 good years in his NFL
career. We looked it up when it happened. And look, right. I love Terrell Davis. Great. Yes. I mile high saluted as a kid because I hated the Packers, like all that. Terrell Davis barely had a cup of coffee. He was primo when he did, but, like, him making the Hall of Fame.
He had one of the seasons that we rarely see from running backs, the 2,000-yard season. He won back-to-back Super Bowls with John Elway in one of the more.
He has four seasons of 1,000 yards.
Yeah, that's
four seasons of 1,000 yards or more.
That should not be
and
a Hall
of
Fame.
And he's in the NFL Hall of Fame. And he was great the year that they won it in 98. He had 2,008 yards. He had 1,750 the first year they won it.
Yep.
There is no doubt he was big and he mattered and he should be retired in Denver. Him making the Hall of Fame, unfortunately, I think, and this is just my opinion,
clouds the picture for everybody
else. I think
else.
It's broken the Hall of Fame voting process. And I hate to say that because I love TD. I think he's a great player, but injuries got in his way. A 7-year career in total, but only four of 1,000 yards or more, I think has kind of unfortunately ruined the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, if you want to say Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl because of his defense and won early in his career, like you're 100% correct. But to act as if he was carried his entire time in Seattle by the Legion of Boom, that's just a wrong take. And I hate Seattle. I don't root for him to win. I can't stand Russell Wilson. I think he's a phony. He was a great player in those back years in Seattle before things got wonky, and then it's obviously been a disaster in Denver, Pittsburgh, and New York. But those last 4, 5, 6 years in Seattle were really good for him.
Loaded second hour of the radio program. Touch on the NBA Finals starting. Got Miles Garrett audio. Got some local news. Dirt and Sprague Hour 2 on 105.1 The Fan.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South. And, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.